Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Last spring, we heard a series of stories of bizarre and violent crimes attributed to people high on the street drug bath salts. In Florida, police shot a man who was cannibalizing another man's face, and a mother tore off her clothes and assaulted her 3-year-old son. Although neither crime has been definitively linked to the deceptively named street drug, they ignited conversations about the production and complicated legal status of bath salts. What we have not yet heard is about the chemical composition of the drug, nor how it affects the brain and body of users. Jenny Martyr is a producer and reporter at PBS NewsHour. Her article, "The Drug That Never Lets Go," appeared online at PBS and accompanied an on-air story and reports on what researchers are uncovering about a stimulant unlike any ever seen. Jenny, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So let's remind our listeners of what bath salts are, how they're being sold.
Well, bath salts is the street name for a drug, but it's not really just one drug. It's a collection of drugs that share a few common characteristics. And one is that most of these drugs contain a synthetic stimulant. It's an amphetamine-like stimulant called a cathinone. And sometimes they actually contain different kinds of these cathinones. And the other thing is that they're often hidden in packaging for household items. So they're camouflaged as products like bath salts. Bath salts is one example of that.
So someone would have to be in the know to take them or consume them as a drug.
Yeah, one thing I think is worth mentioning is that these products don't really look like a normal bath salts product. They're usually bright-colored packaging. They often have provocative names like dynamite is one, white lightning is another. Bath salts is the most common, but they're also labeled as other things like plant food or toilet bowl cleaner or insect repellent. And the packaging often says things like extremely stimulating, lots of energy. And people do really have to seek them out, I think, in order to find them.
But seek them out they do. In your article, you write about Dickie Sanders. He is a young man who snorted an iteration of the drug, packaged and sold under the name Cloud9. What happened to Dickie?
This is an example that really highlights the drug at its very worst. Dickie Sanders was a 21-year-old who, as you said, snorted the bath salts. And Cloud9 is one of the more common kinds of bath salts that's been found. And he proceeded to go through days of paranoia and frightening delusions. He thought someone was breaking into his home. He saw police cars and helicopters that weren't there. And what was so scary about Dickie's experience was that he just couldn't seem to escape from the drug. And it finally ended with him taking his own life in a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
It's a terrible story, but we read about other people who take the drug exhibiting very bizarre behavior, very unlike their normal behavior. Is there such a thing as a typical experience when it comes to bath salts?
One thing about the bath salts and about synthetic drugs is you really don't know what you're getting when you take these drugs. Many of them, in our story, we focus on two of the most common ingredients. One is called mephedrone, and another is called MDPV. And many of these products have mephedrone and MDPV, but some also contain other kinds of cathinones, slightly tweaked varieties of these cathinones. Some contain caffeine. And another thing is that the doses can vary wildly. In one study, identical packages were tested to see what was inside of them. They all looked exactly the same. And they found that one of these contained 17 milligrams of MDPV, and another contained nearly 2,000 milligrams of MDPV.
Well, of course, since these drugs are now out there on the market, there is some research going on, primarily focused. You spoke to researchers primarily focused at a couple of state poison labs and also at Virginia Commonwealth University. Dr. Louis DeFelice is from VCU, and here he is talking about some of the behaviors exhibited by people on bath salts.
What you see are several common features of a bath salts abuser. One is they tear at themselves. They tear their clothes off. They tear at their skin. They attempt to pull off body parts. So there's something about it which causes them to feel like they need to tear at themselves, literally and figuratively. Second thing is they have enormous sense of strength, sort of like an adrenaline rush. So it might be that in addition to being flooded by dopamine, this is a total conjecture now, a total guess, you might also be flooded by adrenaline. Well, that would maybe account for the feeling of strength and the difficulty in holding down bath salts abusers. Yeah. Everyone reports it takes 5 or 6 people to control them. And lastly, suicide. They tear at themselves to the ultimate extent of even killing themselves.
Yeah, the behaviors are just so bizarre that you see from people who have taken these drugs. And there's a database of cases put together by the poison control centers in Kentucky and Louisiana. And they mentioned some of the more alarming behaviors. They mentioned somebody who was firing guns out of the house window at strangers who weren't there. Another person who broke all of the windows of their house and then walked around barefoot in the broken glass. And there was another person who left her 2-year-old daughter in the middle of the highway because she thought she had demons. Mm. I mean, they're just unthinkable, some of these behaviors.
Well, not only that, but the lasting effects. If your brain is flooded with dopamine, there's no reuptake inside of your system. How long can this last? You know, that you can be out of your mind for, a series of days? How long?
Well, in the case of Dickie Sanders, remember, he was high for 4 to 5 days. Mm. He was experiencing these delusions and this paranoia. And they found that some people are high on the drug for even longer than 5 days, for 10 days, even longer. That's something else that's really unique about this drug, that it's just so long-lasting and so potent.
We're talking about the chemical composition of bath salts, the common street drug that is being sold under a number of names. And actually, doctors and researchers are finding the real chemical effects of this kind of drug on the brain. Jenny Martyr's with us. She's a producer and reporter at PBS NewsHour. So, Jenny, how far along is this research at this point? I mean, we first heard about this drug last spring. Obviously, it's been around for some time.
Well, it hasn't been all that well researched yet. They're starting to learn more and more about it. They're starting to learn more about mifedrone and MDPV and what the two do when they're combined. And the researchers that I was looking at were really looking at the effects on the dopamine system, but it also seems to have an effect on other neurotransmitters like serotonin, so they're planning to look at that. And the researchers that I spoke with were mostly looking at cells, actually eggs that were surgically removed from the embryos of frogs, mm-hmm. and they introduced the drug to these eggs to understand, and actually these are eggs that have been reprogrammed to act like brain cells that have dopamine receptors on them. The next step is to do animal studies. That's something that they'll be doing looking ahead in their research. But they're really just trying to understand more about these drugs.
So there have been a spate of synthetically made drugs in recent years. Then the idea is that these compounds may not be detected in a regular drug screening blood test. How about with bath salts and related drugs? Can doctors, can law enforcement figure out if people have been using the drug?
I think in the cases of the more common cathinones that we're seeing, like the mifedrone and the MDPV, which have been shown up quite a lot in these products, they are developing assays, tests, so that they can find out whether people have been taking these drugs. But the other thing that's happening is authorities believe that as more and more of these specific substances are getting controlled, drug makers seem to be tweaking the chemistry slightly in order to evade these controls. So it looks like there are drugs that are out there with substances that are probably fairly similar to these cathinones that they're studying and the cathinones that were found in Dickie Sanders' blood, but are different enough to get around the tests. Mm. And that's another thing that's very troubling about them. There are a lot of different ways to make these cathinones.
Well, in response to all of these bizarre cases, this past summer, President Obama did sign into law the Synthetic Drug Abuse Prevention Act, which bans several of the ingredients that are in bath salts, including MDPV. So that's making all of these bath salts illegal. What's happening to all the products that were on the market?
If you look at the numbers, in 2011, they seemed to really peak. There were 6,138 reported to poison control centers in 2011, and that's up from 304 in 2010. So you can see there was a huge growth in 2011. So far this year, the numbers have gone down, seem to have gone down. There's 2,251 that have been reported as of September 10th. These are cases of bath salts. And these are cases that have been reported to poison control. These tend to be the most severe. These are people who are showing up at emergency rooms or friends and family of somebody who used bath salts who's calling poison control. Some of the people that I've talked to have said that it's hard to say exactly what that means. It could mean that there are fewer people actually using them. It could be that the drug makers are changing the drugs enough so that they're no longer showing up on drug tests, and so cases aren't being reported. As they get to know these drugs, as doctors, for example, in emergency rooms get to know these drugs, they're less likely to report them to poison control. So cocaine and methamphetamine aren't reported to poison control nearly as often as something like bath salts. So it's unclear how many people out there are using bath salts now. People are still finding them online, and they are finding them as recently as the summer. They have been found in certain businesses, too. So they're still out there.
Well, Jenny Martyr, thanks for all your work on this. It's a frightening but fascinating article.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jenny Martyr is a producer and reporter with the Science Unit at PBS NewsHour. You can read her in-depth report on the chemistry of bath salts at wordofmouthradio.org. As frightening as bath salts and other street drugs may be, FDA-approved prescription medications are equally dangerous when abused or used for recreational purposes. Leo Ducey is New Hampshire's resident agent for the Drug Enforcement Agency.
The misuse of prescription drugs has become paramount, resulting in more deaths in the state of New Hampshire than car crashes. You know, one in five teens abuse prescription drugs. New Hampshire has the second highest rate nationally of young adults abusing pain medication, and the stats go on.
There's one thing that you can do to keep drugs out of the environment and out of the wrong hands, by disposing of any prescription drugs you may have hiding in the back of the medicine cabinet. Do not flush them or throw them in the trash. You can dispose of them on National Drug Take Back Day. It's coming up this Saturday, the 29th of September.
What we do is we take all manner of prescription drugs and pills and pharmaceuticals, up to but not including sharps and needles. It's completely anonymous. If people are so inclined, they can take the labels off. They can dump the pills into a nondescript bag. The bottom line is we're not going to look at whatever anyone throws in that box. The best thing to do is go on DEA.gov, and you'll see a logo that says Got Drugs. And from there, you can, any citizen can punch in their town, their city, or their zip code, and it'll tell you where their collection site is closest to you. And, of course, this is going on throughout the state of New Hampshire and throughout the country on September 29th between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m.
And there's a link to more information and locations for drug take back at wordofmouthradio.org.